Yes. Well, today I want to read with you a text that comes from the Last Supper, when Jesus took his Last Supper with his disciples. This is a text when talks about the Passover, and I want to tell you that I have actually decided to go with the Gospel of John. So let me ask you a question for you that have been going to church, you know, for a long time. True or false? All the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them talk about the Last Supper, the Passover, Jesus taking the Passover and the Last Supper with all of his disciples. True or false? All the disciples talk about it. What do you think? Yes, true?
No.
You don't know?
I never thought of it that way.
All the Gospels talk about the Last Supper. True or false? It's true. All of them talk about the Last Supper. Another question for you now. True or false? All the disciples, all the apostles, all the four Gospels talk about the Last Supper and the foot washing ceremony taking place at the same time. It's a tricky question. What do you think? All the four Gospels talk about the Last Supper, but do all of them talk about the foot washing and the Last Supper and the Last Supper taking place together? You would guess yes?
I would guess no.
Okay, raise your hand if you say yes. You believe that all of them repeat the same story. Okay? Now, raise your hand if you say no. Do you mind if I close this?
No.
It's too much noise out there. Raise your hand if you say no. Not all the Gospels talk about the same story. The very same way. Who said no? Two? You're right. All the four Gospels talks about the Last Supper. But the Gospel of John is the only one who mixes them together. Now, there's a better question to ask you, and I want you to participate on this. Why? Why would John be the only one to include the Last Supper together with the foot washing ceremony? We're not talking about the other Gospels not saying that didn't happen, but why does John observe that? Let me tell you something right now. We're sitting here and we are listening to a message about the Bible, but there's a lot of things happening right now that you're not paying attention to. One of them is the noise out there, and I locked the door, I closed the door, so we don't have a lot of noise out there coming from outside. There are other things happening here that some of us may perceive and some of us may not. Do you understand what I'm saying? For John, when they are having the Last Supper, something huge happens, according to John, and that is the foot washing.
By Jesus.
By Jesus.
I think that's a point, because it is a common occurrence in that country, then, that the servants, because that's the servant, always wash the feet of the noble people as they come to eat.
Okay.
But here is Jesus doing it.
Yeah, that's a lot to say. If for John, that was like too much. I have to talk about this. Isn't that right? Well, let me do something here. I saw something here that I want to, if you don't mind, I want to use it. Do you mind? Here we go. Today, I would like to welcome you to the Lord's table. What happens here is, the Bible says in the Gospel of John that Jesus Christ, he gives instructions to his disciples to prepare himself the Passover. the meal. Isn't that right? And what takes place is that all of them are sitting at the table of the Lord. And He invites them to sit at the table. So I'd like to invite you to sit at the table today. I would like to invite you to imagine at this moment that you are going to be a part of what took place back then. And I want you to try to imagine, to try to take, to picture this, to see exactly what's happening. True or false? There's bread on the table and there's wine on the table. How do you know? Again, the Gospel of John doesn't even mention the bread, doesn't even mention the wine. Are you saying that they didn't eat anything in that Last Supper? No. I'm just telling you that all the Gospels talk about that. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they make a huge emphasis on the emblems. This bread represents the body of Christ. And the wine, or the grape juice, like some people would say, the wine represents the blood of Christ that He was about to share with us. And if you go to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you will see that Jesus encouraged them. And Jesus says, take this bread, because this bread represents my body that's going to be given into you. And drink from the wine. And drink from my blood. And this is going to be the blood that I'm going to be sharing. I'm going to be shedding for you. Incredible story, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in the Gospel of John, no. It starts on chapter 13 of the Gospel of John. And it says there that Jesus was preparing Himself and His disciples to actually go through this incredible moment. And it starts like this on John chapter 13, verse 16. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. Look how John starts his mix with Passover, Last Supper. He's talking about there is a love here that Jesus had started to love them. John chapter 6, he says that Jesus was going to give His own body and His own blood. It's there in the Gospel of John. But in chapter 6, we're now down to chapter 16. He already said that. Jesus is going to do that. Look what he says in verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put into his heart, or the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. Look what happens. Jesus, knowing, verse 3, that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, He rose up from the table. Look at what John does. No wine, no bread. We know they're there receiving the Last Supper. We know they're there eating the Passover. We know that Jesus talked about the bread and the wine and everything on the other Gospels, and John doesn't want to repeat that. But John says that as Jesus is aware that the devil is already in the heart of Judas Iscariot, and when there, some Bible translation says that they were in the middle of the supper, the Bible says that Jesus raises up. No mentions about the bread. No mentions about the blood. No mentions about the symbolism. Take part of this and remember that. Nothing. The Bible says that Jesus stands up. He gets a bowl of water. He puts some water in it. He gets a towel. And He comes to one of His disciples. And He kneels before him, showing that He's going to wash his feet. The Bible says that that disciple was Peter. And when Peter sees Jesus, the King of the universe, the Almighty God, kneeling in front of him, ready to wash his own feet. Peter reacts. He looks at Jesus and says, "You wash my feet, Jesus?" Jesus says, "Yes." Peter says, "I'll never let you wash my feet." Because Peter knows exactly who's kneeling down before him. How come the king of the universe is going to wash my feet? And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, "If I do not wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me." Now let's stop there for a second. If you were Peter, and the king of the universe kneels down before you and tried to wash your feet, would you let him? Was Peter wrong of saying that? I think he was right. I would do the same thing. Jesus, you would never wash my feet. But now here comes a better question. How would you feel if Jesus would look you in the eye and say, "If I cannot wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me"? How would you react to that? You would let him, wouldn't you? What does Peter say? "Not only my feet, but please my hands and my head, everything. Because I want to be with you, Jesus." Well, here comes the interesting thing. Jesus says, "No, Peter, only your feet. Those that have already taken a bath, those that have already showered, they don't need to be washed again. Only your feet. But there are those who are not clean among us." Imagine now if you're sitting there and you hear Jesus saying the word, "There's someone that is not clean here." I don't know about you, but the first thing I would think is like, "Oh, some of the disciples didn't take a shower today. Who are you?" "Oh, we found one." I would think that. Aren't you glad I was not there? But in the mind of John, he's like, what is Jesus trying to say? What do you think Jesus was trying to say, that some in that group was not clean? Was he talking about taking a shower? A heart was not clean? And who was that person? Judas Iscariot. Jesus was talking about a man that was ready to betray him. But let's not get into Judas yet. Let us go back there to Peter. Even though Jesus told Peter, "You are clean, and I'm going to wash only your feet, you don't have to take a shower, you don't have to take a bath," were you, Peter, totally clean? Do you think Peter was totally clean? What happens to Peter later on when he is put on the spot and he's asked, "Are you one of them?" He betrays Jesus, and how many times? Three times. And Jesus says, even before the crow, the rooster, you know, crows like three times, "You will deny me." And Peter said, "No way, I'll never do that." Was Peter totally clean? I wonder why Jesus washed his feet and not give him a bath right there. Because he was not totally clean. He was going to betray him. Now let's go back here. I don't want to call anybody Judas here. So I'm going to pretend that somebody here is our Judas. Was Judas totally clean? When Jesus said, "Not everyone is clean," Jesus was referring to him. Now let me ask a question. Please answer. Answer this question. Did Jesus wash Peter's feet? He did. Now let me ask you a question. Did Jesus wash Judas's feet? M- And I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. This might be anyone's guess right now, because we're not sure exactly. The Bible doesn't even mention exactly that Jesus washed Peter's feet. It says that Jesus tried. Peter said no, and then Peter said, "Give me a totally bath, you know, shower me." So we are assuming that yes, Jesus did wash his feet because Peter said, "Yes, please do." John doesn't go into the details, but I'm going to challenge you to say that. How many of you believe that Jesus washed all the disciples' feet in that day? How many of you believe that even Judas' feet was washed that day? How many of you believe that? You do? I do too.
Because I think Jesus would always give someone the question of the doubt, maybe, or it will give him, you know, something like that.
An opportunity.
An opportunity to, even though he knows that Satan is going to take over Judas.
Let's go back now to the table. Why do you think that John, instead of being talking about the symbols, instead of John be talking about the bread and the wine, instead of John be writing it down, the words of Jesus, "Take my body, take this bread because it represents my body and my sacrifice for you. Drink this wine because it represents my blood that's going to be shed for you." Why do you think John, instead of talking about what's taking place at the table, why do you think that for John, something greater is taking place here outside of the table? I'm not sure if you understand what I'm trying to say. But if I could talk to John today, and if I could say, "John," let's say John is right here, and I say, "John, why would you not put emphasis on the Last Supper, on the Passover? Why would you interrupt one of the most amazing things that we can possibly imagine? There's nothing greater than having communion with Christ. There's nothing greater than receiving the elements of the bread and the wine. John, why in the world would you not even talk about that? Why would you interrupt this precious moment and talk about foot washing?" Is that a fair question to ask John? How many of you think it's a fair question to ask John? Isn't it a fair question? I mean, you just don't ignore the Last Supper, John. It's probably John is thinking, you know, all the disciples already probably talk about that. There's something that they're forgetting here. I'm going to tell you something different. It's probably that John is saying that. But if I could have a conversation with John, I could almost hear John saying, "Pastor Gilbert, there's something greater than flesh and blood. There's something greater than all these symbols." And now here comes the question to you. What can be greater than flesh and blood? What can be greater than the symbol of the Last Supper? What is John trying to do here? I'm going to give you a little tip here. It has to do with water. What did he say?
Baptism.
John, is this about baptism? We don't baptize people by washing their feet. John, probably those men were already baptized. Yes, Gilbert, they were. And if I could ask John, "Is it important to be baptized?" How do you think he would answer me? Of course baptism is important. If I were to ask John, "The Last Supper is important, isn't it? We do it every Sunday in church, once a quarter. Is it important?" Would John say yes? Of course John would say yes. Baptism is important. the elements, its emblems, and the flesh, and the blood, and the bread, and the wine. Of course, John would say, yes, Gilbert. Of course it is important. But I think you're into something there. It's nice to be baptized. It's nice to come to church. It's nice to have communion with Christ and receive the bread and the wine. But I think what John is trying to teach us here is something even greater than that. And only John does this. And you know what it is? Do you remember when Jesus finishes up washing the disciples' feet? Peter's, probably Judas, and all the disciples. Do you remember what Jesus said at the end when he was done with the communion and the foot washing? Do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus says, you called me master, and you're right. But let me tell you something. The messenger is not greater than the one who sends the message. Do you hear what Jesus is saying here? Jesus is saying, yes, I am above all of you, but I'm not greater than you. And Jesus says, I don't call you servants. I call you. What does Jesus is called in the Gospel of John? Jesus says, I don't call you servants. Because a servant doesn't love his master, but I call you friends. And then if you go to the book of John, chapter 15, you know what John says there? Jesus is saying, there is nothing greater than a friend giving his own life for somebody else, for his friends. Do you understand what Jesus is talking about here? Jesus is teaching his disciples at the table. The last time he's there with them, we know Jesus is going to die. We know Jesus is going to resurrect. We know we have to take the Last Supper and remember what Jesus had done for us. Sometimes we even wash each other's feet. But what Jesus is teaching here, according to John, is something greater. Greater than bread and wine, greater than symbols, even greater than baptism. And let me tell you what it is. Let's go back to Peter. How many of you here would wash somebody's feet that you know was about to betray you 3 times? Would you do that? Let me ask another question now. How many of you would wash the feet of someone, kneel down before someone to take a place of a slave, to wash somebody's feet that you call the friend that was going to betray you and sell you for 30 pieces of silver coins? How many of you would wash the feet of 2 people that were about to betray you? Can you see the lesson here? Can you see the lesson here? Can you see who was the one who was on the floor, on his knees? Because there's one thing that I can wash your feet right now, and I can put up a good Christian persona. Oh, look at Pastor Gilbert. He washed my feet. How cute. But Jesus is teaching us here that, yes, I know you're going to betray me. Yes, I know you're going to deny me. Yes, I know tonight you're going to deny me. The very same Peter that said, I'm ready to die for you. I know you're going to deny me, and I'm still going to wash your feet, Peter. Yes, Judas, I know because of you, I'm going to die on the cross. I know because of you, all that I have fought for to instruct and teach my disciples, all that I have tried to do, I know because of you, everything might come to an end. And I'll still wash your feet. Now let me ask you this question. Huh? You call yourself a Christian? And sometimes we get into this I'm better than you because I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm better than you because I'm a Baptist. I'm better than you because I'm a Lutheran. The Lutheran church is better than the Catholic church. We get into these things thinking that, oh, we're better than other people because we got the truth. We got the right doctrines. We got the right things to say when we have more to offer the world than any other people. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? What Jesus is challenging us is, if you want to be my followers, if you want to be my disciples, blessed are you if you do the same thing. And you know what Jesus is saying? If you know somebody's going to betray you, you wash their feet. If you know that somebody's going to betray you, you bless them. And let me tell you something. There is nothing greater than a friend, than a person that will die for his friend. And Jesus said, I can do that. And blessed are you if you do this for one another. And then you know the love of God. And do you want to know how chapter 15 of John ends? Ends like this. And if you do this, and if you do this, and if you do these things, you will ask anything in my name, and it will be given it to you. Did you hear what Jesus said? Isn't this powerful? I said in the beginning that these lessons, they can change our lives. It can change your life. Instead of being wasting time of who got the truth and who got the right thing, Jesus said, love one another. There's no greater command than this one. Is there anything greater than a man that will wash the feet like a slave of somebody that's about to betray him? Is there anything greater than that? Is there anything greater than washing the feet of somebody that said, I'm ready to die for you, and in that very same night you're going to betray me? Jesus says, do this for one another. Because when you do it, you will ask anything in my Father's name, and that will be given to you. So back to John. John, why don't you talk about the Last Supper? Because it's not important? John, are you saying that we don't need the Last Supper anymore? Are you saying that the blood and the bread is not important anymore, John? So what are you trying to say, John? If I could ask that question to John, I think what he would answer me would be, all of those things are important, Gilbert. We go to church and we teach our kids that baptism is important. We go to church and we teach our kids that yes, you have to partake in the bread and the wine of Christ. And you have to do that very often so you can remember what He has done for you. But I think John is stepping a little bit higher. And John is saying, don't forget, we were called to follow the Master's teaching. And He said that if we love one another, we will die for each other. We'll even do things for people that we know they don't like us. We know that they don't care about us. And we know they might even betray us. And Jesus says, blessed are you if you do those things. Because then, all the world will know that you are my followers. Did you hear this? The whole world will know that you are my followers. And by the way, whatever you ask in the Father's name, whatever you ask in my name, it will be granted to you. Isn't that a great teaching? Isn't that awesome? So today I want to pray for all of you guys and for me. And I told you, every time I read the Word of God, I don't want to read the Word of God because I have to. I want to be challenged by you. And today we have learned a principle. That is not cliche, we do because we have to. Today we have learned a principle that I believe with all my heart. If we apply this principle in our lives, we will be better Christians. We will be better grandparents and great-grandparents, we will be better neighbors. And most important of all, we will be known to be Jesus' disciples and followers. Would you accept this? Would you take on this challenge today? It's even more than symbols. It's about following Christ and doing what He did. How many of you would try to do that? How many of you would take this teaching into heart? And how many of you would try to do better? Praise God. Me too. It's a challenge for me too. I didn't talk about people that, I have bad feelings about it too. And it's tough. Sometimes we do have people that we would like to avoid. But He said, love one another. So shall we pray? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for John and for this amazing teaching that came here today to this place to challenge us to love one another and to do for others what You have done for us. Because You told us that there is no greater love than dying for a friend, and You did this for us. You've done it. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We love You so much, and we want to be a little bit more like You today. So please forgive our sins. If there's anyone we need to forgive, help us to forgive. If there is anyone that we need to be better, to help us, Lord, to be better to people that surround us, to love unconditionally like You did. And I pray today for a new baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that will make us people that all around the world will be remembered as Your followers. Thank You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen. Isn't it great? I hope you